the committee itself, World Heritage Committee, which is the 21, and it's very powerful. And the convention says that it was intended to be a professional body. But we have to also recognize it's an international treaty, and so many countries have diplomats, often as heads of delegation. And so the question really is around the balance between expertise, your view of the balance between expertise and diplomatic representation, how you see that playing out in the committee.
Okay. As a, on a matter of principle, I would say a delegation to the World Heritage Committee should be composed of both. I know that on issues of procedures, on issues of budgets, on issues like this, the experts that come from capitals, from ministries of culture or whatever, are not quite familiar with the UNESCO procedure. But to tell you the truth, I know where you're getting, and I think the problem is not who should speak. Is it the expert? Is it the diplomat? Because in the end, these experts are governmental experts. And I have seen experts 100 times more politicized than diplomats. The problem is the instructions given by the state party at the end. Because whether it's the diplomat sitting and whether it's an expert, they say what they're told. And it's not really their expertise that is going to count. It's in the end the instructions given by the state party. And some of them work for ministries. So these are not independent. This is not independent expertise that you're getting in this committee. So it's not a question of diplomat or expert. It's a question of independent or not independent. So the real question is how to depoliticize. Not who is speaking, but how to depoliticize, whether the diplomats or the experts. How to make sure that the input is really professional input, technical input, and to keep the politics away. And it was this issue of lobbying has always existed, but not at all in never reached the levels that we have now. And I think the committee that for me was the committee that where the change dramatically started was the committee where they arrived with draft resolutions pre-prepared in Paris. And that is where everything started to go wrong. These resolutions that you prepare, you amend the resolutions in Paris and you go collect signatures on them and you come and you inscribe sites without, the Saudi site in Brasilia was inscribed without a statement of outstanding universal value. They came back with the statement in Paris 1 year later. Yeah, they inscribed a site without a statement of outstanding universal value, which is quite incredible. And from that committee and on, things started to escalate. But you know, I always said that the committee is not a rubber stamping body. So I do believe that the committee has to decide in the end. But I believe so if the committee is honestly doing its work based completely on professional advice and a professional opinion, not because they have been lobbied and not because they have co-signed the DRs to please such country or such country. And if they believe that the advisory bodies can be wrong on when they advise not to inscribe or to defer a site, then the advisory bodies can be wrong when they say yes. I've never heard them complain when the recommendation is a yes. There's no discussion. We move immediately to congratulation. We congratulate the state party. Never a discussion. Actually, we were the only ones in Helsinki to say no, to a yes. And it was the famous Bolgar that came back again and got inscribed in the end. ICOMOS had said yes, but we saw that they had many fears of plans of development for the future, and we refused to inscribe. We wanted guarantees, and we deferred.
How effective do you think the General Assembly of States Parties has been?
In the beginning, it used to do very little things, but I think it is becoming more and more interesting, and it is trying to do things, but you always have this group of countries who want to remind the Assembly that according to the convention they're not supposed to do anything. So there is this resistance to letting the Assembly have a role, but I think the Assembly should have a role because this is a very small committee, and when things go wrong, I think states parties have the right to say stop and have the right to take decisions, and the committee should abide by them. I very much believe that the General Assembly should be made stronger and stronger.
Have you seen examples where it actually did take hold on something, a policy or something?
Well, the audit, the Assembly practically imposed an audit, and lately the Assembly took a few decisions that were very strong decisions. Actually, the Assembly accepted my proposal when I proposed that committee members do not inscribe while they are sitting in the committee. I have fought for this for a long time in the committee, and the committee always really treated this with disdain. The auditor recommended it. An audit recommended by the Assembly recommended that this should be adopted. The Assembly adopted the recommendation twice, and the committee refused to adopt it. So until today, the committee is refusing to implement this auditor's recommendation that was twice confirmed by the General Assembly. And this issue of conflict of interest, of being able to inscribe where you're sitting, while you're sitting in the committee, is one of the major reasons for politicization of the committee. Now they run for the committee because they want to inscribe, not because they want to serve and they want to play a role and serve this convention and serve conservation and serve international community and heritage. In every committee there are a few states parties and committee members who really still believe in the objectives of the convention and still fight for this, but at each committee the number gets smaller and smaller.